All right, Jabo, say good morning, good morning, a good tevach. Hopefully everyone had a beautiful, uplifting and restorative Shabbos. We have, let's say, I have to say it, a ridiculous week of the daf ahead of us this week. Emeretz Hashem, some beautiful Agarita, the incredible Gemara of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa this week. Emeretz Hashem, right as a way of preparing us, Emeretz Hashem, for this particular time of year, really some incredible Gemara today, also incredible. So it's really going to be an exceptionally uplifting and riveting week. So we begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Tammuz, Rav Naftali Tilson of Eretz Yisrael, for dedicating all the Shiurim and Drashos this month in commemoration of the yard sites of his parents, Reb Yonah ben Avram Leib, Rivka Bas Yaakov, and the merit of Meretz Hashem of ours, very special share being Zocha to continue through the swim through the Yamshal Talmud together, B'Mesayim Shas B'Sha'a Tova U'Mitzlachos, the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas, Shrev and Aliyah, and the family Ein Nechama. And both with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Nun Dalet. We're picking up, I gave you a little bit of homework last night, so we are picking up Meretz Hashem on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, 12 lines down. At the Tashma. From the chuckles, I see some did not do their homework. But all right, you know, something's 10:30, Shabbos ended. By the time you finish Havdalah, it's 10:20. You know, that's, all right, as soon as I could. All right, it's good. The good news is, even if you didn't do your homework, it's okay. You'll do it afterwards. It's not going to impact where we're starting today. I just wanted to start from like a little bit of a self-contained sugya. So we'll say Tashma, 12 lines down from the top. So let's remember again, what we're actually making reference to today, we're going to be focusing on the interesting machlokis Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which was on Nun Gimel Amud Beis 53b, about 10, 12 lines down. So both said that case was as follows. Let me just quote it to you. That case was Hamidame v'Haminaseich. Excuse me. Hamidame v'Haminaseich. This was the situation ultimately again of a person going ahead and defiling, making someone's produce tameh, or dimua, mixing in truma, or menasech, going ahead and actually making someone's wine yayin nesach. So remember again, this was part of the sugya of hezek she'eno nikar, when you go ahead and you visit unrecognizable damage upon someone else's property. So what's the halach in these cases? So remember again, we had Rabbi Meir who said, echad shogeg ve'echad mezid chayiv. Rabbi Meir said that halach l'maysa, whether you did this intentionally or unintentionally, you're chayiv, versus Rabbi Yehuda who said, b'shogeg potter, b'mezid chayiv. Unintentional, unintentionally, you are potter. Intentionally, you're going to be chayiv. So we'll say, sir, remember again, the Gemara wanted to suggest, Gemara originally thought that this is a machlok, is about hezek shein or nikar. The Rabbi Meir holds hezek shein or nikar is going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda holds hezek shein or nikar is going to be potter. To which the Gemara says, no. In fact, what's happening over here, the Gemara wanted to suggest, is that everyone agrees that hezek she'eino nikar is not called hezek. Unrecognizable damage is not called hezek. So what's the machlokes? The machlokes is kansa shogeg atu mezid. Do we penalize a shogeg case lest in order to prevent you from being mezid? That's what the Gemara wanted to suggest was the nekudas hamachlokes. Do we penalize you in a shogeg case lest you come to be mezid? Rabbi Meir says yes, Rabbi Yehuda says no. So we'll say that's where our Gemara is picking up, specifically focusing on the position of Rabbi Meir, trying to challenge Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, here we go. Some really interesting cases here. Tan Rabbanon. Tashma. Tashma. Achot Shuma Tzmeya. Person goes in and eats Shuma Tzmeya. Mishalim Chulin Tahorin. Person has to pay back with Chulin Tahorin. So we'll say, so the case of here is as follows. Right, a person goes ahead and eats truma that is tamea. Now, both say, so remember again, you're not allowed to eat truma tamea, but if you did, halacha l'maaseh, you went ahead and you deprived the kohen of something. So what do you go ahead, how do you repay truma tamea? So if a person eats truma tamea, they repay the kohen with chulin tahorin. Okay, shilein chulin tameim, mahu. What happens if you repay the kohen with chulin tameim? Right, chulin tamei. So Rose says, remember again, chulin tamei is chulin is unconsecrated, right? Regular mundane produce that is tamei. That is tamei. So what's going to be the halacha? So Amar Sumchos Mishum Rabbi Meir. So Sumchos said Rabbi Meir b'shogeg tashlum of tashlumin. If you did it accidentally, so Rose says, so here's the case. I am not a kohen. Lutzari harav. I am not a kohen. Unfortunately, I go ahead and I consume the truma tamei of a kohen. So what's now, again, I've taken something of his. Granted, the Kohen can't eat Truma Tameya, but there may be other potential uses for Truma Tameya. Therefore, I've deprived him of something. I now have to pay him back. In an ideal sense, what am I paying him back? Chulin Tehorin. I pay him back Chulin Tameyin. So now what? What's the halacha? Rabbi Meir says, it depends. If it was B'shogeg, the repayment is fine. If it's B'mezid, the repayment is not fine. So we'll say, by the way, here it is right now. We're going to see a lot of these cases. This is the kasha of the Gemara. Because beforehand, we had Rabbi Meir saying that we're going to penalize you in a case of shogeg, lest you come to do it b'mezid. That's when the previous cases before, you make someone's produce tameh, you make someone's wine yayin nesach. What's the halacha? Rabbi Meir says, whether you did it b'shogeg or b'mezid, you're chayif. So now you see over here that here's a case of shogeg, where Rabbi Meir is not gozer, right? Rabbi Meir doesn't hold you liable in a case of shogeg, lest you come to mezid. Okay, but I'm just, that's the kasha. We'll develop more. The chum say echazeh ve'echazeh, tashlumav tashlumin. The Chum say, no. Whether you repaid in Chulin Temeim, B'shogeg or B'mezid, ultimately, again, your repayment is valid. Your repayment is valid, right? But, V'chozer M'shalim Chulin Torn. Listen to this, we'll say, but, Halacha L'maisa, you have to go back and repay again Chulin Tehorin. Now, listen, why is that? According to the Chum, it's a knas. It's a penalty. If you look at Rashi is a little bit further down on the page, across from Tosos, Hama Aser B'Shabbos. So Rashi says, Tashlum of Tashlumin, Upater Be'elu, Vehein Nas in Truma Tmeya Kimasha Acho. Rebbe will say, now the logic of that is as follows. The truth is, if you go ahead and you pay back the coin with Chulin Tmeyim, essentially you are repaying him with a like item. Right? I consumed Truma Tmeya. I'm paying it back with Chulin Tameim. So technically speaking, the repayment should be good. However, the Chachamim say, but we're going to penalize you, Mishalim Chulin Tehorim Mishum Knas. Ultimately, again, we'll make you go ahead and repay again with Chulin Tehorim because of a penalty. Fine. Vavinaba. The Gemara says, but we asked, B'mezid, am I in Tashlum of Tashlumin? I don't understand. Even if I repaid with Chulin Tameim, B'mezid, why shouldn't the repayment be good? After all, tava alav bracha. The truth is, I should get a shkayach. In other words, not only should the repayment be a good repayment, but I should actually get a shkayach. I should get a bracha. Why? So we'll say, remember again, what could a kohen do with truma tameya? Or for that matter, again, when can a kohen eat truma tameya? The answer is never. Never. So when I eat the kohen's truma tameya, and I pay him back with Chulin Tameim, I've actually done him a favor. Because I've consumed something that a Kohen himself could never consume, and I've replaced it with something that what? The Kohen can consume. When can a Kohen eat Chulin Tameim? When can he eat it? When he's tummy. So I don't understand why isn't the repayment good. It should be a valid repayment. It's like finding a $50 bill on the ground, right? You just found something new. Right? Say, watch this. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Here we go. So I'll say, if a person goes ahead and eats Truma Tameya, you ultimately, again, could pay back with anything. I will say, what does anything mean? You could pay back with Chulin Tehorin or Chulin Tameyim. Why? Because either way, you're giving the coin an item of value. Right? How so? So Chulin Tehorin, okay, great. You can eat Chulin Tehorin anytime. But even Chulin Tameyim, ultimately, again, I will say, it's interesting. Chulin Tameyim have a value even for a coin. Why? Because again, at a time when he is Tameh, he's able to eat these Chulin Tameim. Versus Truma Tameya, which again, I, the Yisrael, accidentally consumed, Halacha L'maisa has no consumption value for the Kohen. Again, you can get other types of value from it, but no consumption value. However, Acho Truma Tehora, so we'll say, now here's the Chisri Mechsera. Here's the rest of the Mishnah. So we'll say, now watch this rest of the Braisa. So watch this. But if I ate Truma Tehora, so I, the Yisrael, accidentally consumed Truma Tahora of a Kohen. So what's the halacha? Mishalim Chulin Tahorim. Then I will say again, then I have to repay Chulin Tahorim. What happens? Shilim Chulin Tameim. So we'll say, so now here's the kasha. So this is why the braisa was missing a part. So we'll say, so now, again, everyone will agree in a case where I ate truma tmeya, what do you pay back? We'll say, again, I'm a Yisrael. I ate truma tmeya. What do I pay back? What do I pay the coin back? Whatever you want, right? I can pay him back either chulin tohorim, which is always great, right? Everybody, we'll say, everybody loves getting chulin tohorim, right? So I say, again, I can pay him back chulin tohorim or even chulin tmeim. Why? Why can I pay him back chulin tmeim? Why? Why? Because lemaisa, I am giving him something of consumption value. Because since when he is tamei, there is the ability to go and eat chulin, fine. The real case comes up is what happens if I the Yisrael, accidentally ate truma tohora. Okay, so now I both say, so ideally, what should I be paying him back? What should I be paying him back? Chulin tohorin. What happens now, says the Gemara, I paid him back chulin tmeim. What happens in this case? Mahu. So sumchos amar mishum Rabbi Meir. So sumchos says the Rabbi Meir, b'shogeg tashlumav tashlumin. The mezid ain tashlumav tashlumin. So Rabbi Meir says it depends. It depends. If I did it accidentally, I accidentally paid him back with chulin tmeim, then ultimately, again, the repayment is good. But if I did it intentionally, then the repayment is not good. V'chum nechum say, no, echadzeh, v'echadzeh, tashlumav tashlumin. The chum say, no, in fact, the payment is good, whether you did it intentionally or unintentionally. Yet, v'cholzer u'mishanim chulin tohorim. But halacha l'maisa, there's a knas. And what's the knas? The Knas says you have to go back and pay chulin tohorin. Vam ravacha b'rei d'rav ika. So we'll say, so now watch this. Vam ravacha b'rei d'rav ika. Hacha b'kansu shogeg atumezit ika b'nayu. So we'll say, what are they arguing about? Right? What are they arguing about? So again, one more time. So now let's crystallize the case. I, the Yisrael, accidentally ate the truma tmeya of a kohen. So now we'll say, I ate the truma tohora of a kohen. And now I paid him back with chulin tneim. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Meir says, b'shogeg, you're okay, the repayment is good. B'mezid, the repayment is not good. Chachamim, b'shogeg or b'mezid, the repayment is good. But, we'll say, what's the but? The but, we're going to penalize you. There's a knas, and you have to repay again in chulin tohorim. Says Meir, what's the machlokes? So here we go. The Gemara wants to suggest, machlokes is kansu shogeg atu mezid. Do we penalize you in a shogeg case, lest you come to go ahead and do the same thing b'mezid? Here we go. To Rabbi Meir, savar lo kansu shogeg atu mezid. Rabbi Meir says, no, we do not penalize you in a case of shogeg, lest you come to mezid. The chachamim omrim kansu, and the chachamim go ahead and knas you. They penalize you. Now this is a direct contradiction to Rabbi Meir under Gimel Amud Beis. Because what did Rabbi Meir say in the Gimel Beis? Well, remember again, Rabbi Meir said that halacha l'maisa, if I go ahead and I am metame your produce, So what did Rabbi Meir say? Halacha l'maisa, whether you did it b'shogeg or b'mezid, you're chayiv. Why? Because Rabbi Meir on the Gimel Amud Beis is on record as saying that we're going to penalize you in a case of shogeg, lest you come to perpetrate it b'mezid. So it's a contradiction. So the both say it's incredible. So hachi hashta hasam. Gavra l'shalume kamechavein ana nekom mulekansei. Both say this is incredible. When does Rabbi Meir ultimately penalize shogeg atu mezid? When does he penalize a shogeg case? Should I both say that's when he penalizes you in a case where there was no positive intention involved. So I will say, for example, in the case ultimately again of where I'm a tame your produce, right? I go over to Reuven, I'm a tame his produce. So I will say, I did a b'shogeg, but there's nothing actively constructive in my act. Contrast that, I will say, in the case over here, what happens? I consume Reuven's truma tohora, right? Accidentally. And now, what do? I pay him back with chulin tmeim. So I will say, is this ideal? No, right? So Rabbi Meir says, but b'shogeg, it's fine, b'mezid, it's not fine. Rabbi Meir, what aren't you concerned in a case of shogeg atu mezid? Rabbi Meir says, what's happening in this case? I'll say, what's my intention? What's my intention in this case? My intention is to fix that which I broke. That's my intention. So Rabbi Meir, okay, so what's the problem? I didn't do it in the ideal way. Right? I'm not approaching it in the best way, but the intention is good. So Rabbi Meir says, in this case over here, I'm trying to do the right thing. when a person's trying to do the right thing, we're not going to penalize shogeg lest you come to nezid. Contrast that with the case of, let's say, where there is really no positive intent. Maybe there's just a lack of malicious intent, right? So let's take the Tumah case. We'll say, what's the case ultimately again of where I'm metame your produce accidentally? So it could be a couple of different situations. I will say, it could be I'm tame mace, I touch your produce, I didn't realize that if I touch your produce, ultimately again, I'm making it tumas mace. So there may be a lack of malicious intent, but there's no constructive intent. Where there is no constructive intent, that's what Rabbi Meir will say, we're going to penalize you in a case of shogeg lest you come to mace. Contrast that with the case of repayment after I consumed Truma Tahora. I'm paying you back in Chulin Tameim. The Emir says, B'shogeg, it's fine. Why? I have constructive intent. So in a case where there's constructive intent, we're not going to go ahead and penalize a shogeg case lest you come to Mezid. I will say, it's incredible. Look at Rabbi Meir's Lashon. Meir says, Hachi Ashta Hasam, Gavra L'Shalomi Kamechavein. This guy in this case who consumed the Truma Tahora and now is repaying with Chulin Tameim, his intention is to rectify that which he did wrong. Okay, he accidentally went about it in the wrong way. But the intention was constructive. The intention was, should we penalize him in such a case like this? Doesn't make sense to penalize a person. Therefore, Rabbi Meir will say, in this case, I'm not gozer shogeg atu mezid. Incredible. So we'll say another kasha, Rabbi Meir. Tashma. Damshin nitma vizarku. So we'll say, now here's the case. Kohen is doing the avodah in the base of Mikdash. The sacrificial blood becomes defiled, becomes tame. It will say, obviously, if the sacrificial blood becomes tame, then what's the halacha? Shut it down. Stop the process. But what happens? Vizarku. The Kohen ended up using it for zrika. So what's the halacha? Beshogeg hortza. If he did it beshogeg, ultimately it works. Bemezid lo hortza. Bemezid it didn't work. So we'll say, so once again, it's Kasher Rabbi Meir. What do you see from here? You see from here that we do not penalize shogeg atu mezid. Aruch Rabbi Meir, here's the difference. Hachi hashta hasam gavra lechapuri kamechavein. Ana nekom v'nikansei. So we'll say, it's the same answer. We'll say, what's the intention of the coin when he sprinkles the blood? What's the intention? To do something positive, right? He has positive, constructive das. So okay, and therefore, as long as it's shogeg, we're not going to penalize. And we'll say, it's so profound. Rabbi Meir says, when do we penalize shogeg? In a case where you did something accidentally, but in your act, there's no inherently constructive purpose. But if you're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to do something constructive, but you end up transgressing something b'shogeg, we're not going to throw the book at you, since we understand that your intention is to do something constructive. It's so profound. Tashma, another case that we'll say, Hama'aser b'Shabbos b'shogeg, right? We'll say, this is an interesting case. We'll say, the halacha is, you're not allowed to take trumas and maizros on Shabbos, right? You have produce, you cannot tithe produce on Shabbos. Tithing, I will say, ultimately, again, is a constructive act. It's doma l'malacha. It has the appearance of malacha, and therefore, one is not permitted to do it on Shabbos. What happens if you did it? Hama'aser b'Shabbos. Fine. We'll say, take a look at Rashi for just look before you look at the case. Three lines are from the bottom in the Gemara. Rashi, Ma'aser b'Shabbos, Isser Shavus D'Rabbanani. So we'll say, it's just also important to frame this. Tithing on Shabbos is a Malacha D'Rabbanon. Malacha D'Rabbanon, Nat Araisa, Kedistam Mashilin, Elohim Mishum Shavus Shal Mitzvah, Ein Magbiyin Shuma Samaisrus, Demechse Kimetakein. So we'll say, what's the logic? So why is tithing Aser B'Drabbanon? It makes sense. And we'll say, right, what's Malacha? Malacha is something that is constructive. So we'll say, if you think about it, again, so the act of tithing, you are, quote-unquote, fixing or rectifying the produce. So he goes on, he says, V'chein ha-matpil ke'ilov, matpil. So we'll say, another good example of this is, we'll say, if you are, you know, sometimes a person has like a pile of utensils in their house that have to go to the ke'ilah mikvah. You figure to yourself, you know what? It's such a long Shabbos afternoon. Everyone's looking for something to do. Right, let's go to the ke'ilah mikvah. So we'll say, so it sounds like a great idea, only one little problem, it's aser. We'll say, but once again, what's the nature of that iser? Dirabanan, because I will say, why, if you think about it, these actions, although not biblically prohibited, have the appearance of fixing something. Literally, tikkun mala. You're rectifying, right? You're changing the state of something. Therefore, they are going to be asr. So the Rabbah said, let's go back. So ma'asr b'shabbos. So a person, back to Gemara. Person goes in and takes chumas and ma'asrus from his produce on Shabbos. B'shogeg yochal. If you did it b'shogeg, ultimately, again, you could eat the produce. B'meizid lo yochal. But b'meizid, you can. Rabbah said, now once again, all of these cases are being brought as a stira to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, again, halacha l'maisa, anun gimel amud beis, said, we're going to knas you, we're going to penalize you in a case of shogeg, lest you come to mezid. And yet in all of these cases, we see that we're not penalizing shogeg. To which the Gemara says, once again, hachi hashta hasam, gavra litakune, kamachavein, analekum alakans. It's supposed to say, once again, what Rabbi Meir says is, in cases where there's a purity of intent, right, in cases, or I'll say, it's so profound, in cases where the guy looking to do the right thing, right, he's looking to live within the confines of the law, we're not going to penalize him in a case of shogeg. Right, so I'll say, so again, what does this guy in this case want to do? He wants to go ahead and take trumas and maestros. I'll say, he's a good Jew, just a pashtu yid who doesn't know the halacha. Doesn't know the halacha, so he's trying to do something good. So again, if he does it b'mezid, no, then already that's a bit too much. But if it's b'shogeg, then halacha l'maisa is absolutely no reason to throw the book at him. But we'll say similarly, hamatu kelim b'shabbos. Person goes ahead and immerses his utensils. Does tevilas kelim on Shabbos. B'shogeg yishtamish b'hen. If he did it b'shogeg, ultimately you can use them. B'mezid lo yishtamish b'hen. But if he did it b'mezid, ultimately again, you can't use it. So we'll say once again, it's kashan r'meir. Hachi ashtahasam gavra l'tahurei mani kamachavein. Ana leikom v'lekansei. The guy's just trying to do the right thing. We're going to penalize him, say Rabbi Osei. So this is the end of the Gemara's attempt to try to question Rabbi Meir. And what we come out to question Rabbi Meir is something amazing. Rabbi Osei, does Rabbi Meir hold that we are gozer shogeg atumezid? Does Rabbi Meir hold that Allah HaMaisa, we're going to penalize you in a case of shogeg, lest you come to a bemezid? And the answer is, it depends. Right? What does it depend on? If you're engaged in a totally non-constructive act, we are going to go ahead and penalize you, shogeg atumezid. So for example, I accidentally mitame my friend's produce. How do you accidentally mitame my friend's produce? I'm tame meis, I handle his produce. Or I'm going to say, you know what? I thought it would be a good practical joke, right? Everybody loves to find the dead sherets in their produce, right? So I'd go ahead, I thought, this would be funny, right? This will really give Reuben a good little scare, right? I put the sheret, it's not my intention to damage him, right? I didn't realize it's going to make the produce tame. There's nothing inherently constructed in my intent, right? I have no constructive intent in that case. In that case, Rabbi Meir will say, will be gozer shogeg atumezid. But where the intention of the person was to do something constructive, I accidentally immersed my kelim. I accidentally took trumas and maizer on Shabbos. I accidentally repaid the truma tahora that I consumed with chulin tameim. My intention, I had purity of intent. My intention, all of these cases, was to do something positive. Shabbos say, halacha l'maisa, halacha l'maisa. Rabbi Meir will say, in those cases, shogeg is mutter. Shogeg is mutter. Why? Because since, again, there was constructive intent, we're not going to penalize you. Which Rabbos say has a tremendous mutter haskil as well. If this is true, bedine adam, alachas kama v'kama, this is true, bedine shamayim. Shabbos say, what you see over here is, in our avodas Hashem, it's the same way. That what does the ribono shel olam look for? Rabbos looks for purity of intent. Rabbos say, how many times in life does it happen that I have in mind to do something good and meaningful and holy? And then what happens? When I try to execute, just, it doesn't execute in the right way. The intent is 100% good. I know that I want to do something of meaning, something of positive intent. The execution, for whatever the reason, sometimes is flawed. Just understand that klape shmaya, in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam, that is a meaningful, constructive act. Especially in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Ribono Shel Olam ultimately, again, is mitzarif machshava lemaisa. The Ribono Shel Olam doesn't just look at the actions, he looks at the intent. So if Rabbi Meir says that when you have purity of intent, ultimately, again, bedine adam, we're going to go ahead and accept your act as a valid act. And al-achas kama v'kama, rabosai, so often we recognize that you can't control the way things turn out. Right? So sometimes even your own actions you can't control. The one thing you can absolutely control in life is the purity of your machshavas. When you approach something, do you have purity of intent? And Rabbi Meir teaches us, if there's purity of intent, even if the execution is flawed, ultimately, again, the act is a valid act. In our avodas Hashem, as long as there is purity of intent, even if the execution is flawed for some reason, in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam, that is a meaningful act. Vayter, V'rami, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say, now remember, in the Machlokes, on Amud Beis, on Ongim Amud Beis, so Rabbi Yehuda was the one who held. Rabbi Yehuda made the distinction between Shogeg and Mezid, right? Rabbi Yehuda said, Shogeg Potter. So for example, I will say, I go ahead and I am Metame someone's produce. So Rabbi Yehuda said, if you did it B'Shogeg, it's Potter. You did it B'Mezid, you're Chayiv. So now we're going to contradict, now we're going to post some Christian Rabbi Yehuda. V'rami Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, B'Drabanan. And Rabbi Yehuda said, now we're going to go pose a question to Rabbi Yehuda, right, in Dinei D'Rabanan. Why Rabbi Yehuda says, interesting case. This Sanya. Naflu, very interesting case here. Naflu v'nispatsu. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Let's, because Rashi helps us frame the case. First Rashi, Nundalam Abbas, 54b. Naflu v'nispatsu. Egoze prach. Rabbi Yehuda said, we've actually seen this before. There's a concept called prach nuts. So what are prach nuts? They're nuts from prach. Right? So we'll say, so now, apparently, these were like high-end, I don't know, like what's a good example of like a high-end nut? Macadamia nuts? Okay, yeah. Good. I travel in peanut circles, you know, so macadamia nuts. So I'll say, so now, there were these egoze prach. Now we'll say, so just, let's take a step back here for just a moment. So we know that there's a concept of bittel. So we'll say, concept of bittel, of nullification. Midaraisa, the way bittel works is barov. Right? If you have a majority of permitted item and a minority of prohibited item, the miut, the minority, is batal in the rov. There are certain exceptions to this biblical law. I should say differently. There are no exceptions to the biblical law, but Chazal came up with certain chumras. So I will say, in this category of exceptions to this is a davar chashuv. If you have something, I will say, that is considered to have an inherent unique importance, it is not necessarily batal barov. It's not batal in a simple majority. So a good example of this are these egoze prach. So look at Rashi. Egoze prach, ein betelin afilu be'elef. So we'll say these egoze prach, these prach nuts, apparently were so chashiv that they weren't even batal in a mixture of 1,000 to 1. Because of their chashivos. Now we'll say, now watch this. Now there's an exception to this. Nispatsu ha'egozim shal arla, the achakach naflu sof shal heter ya'alu. Naflu tchil v'achach nispatsu. So now listen to this. Here's the case. So now, stam. You have egoze prach that get mixed in with other nuts. The boss said, what's this? By the way, egoze prach are not inherently us, right? They're fine. Let's say, for example, you have egoze prach of arla. Right? You're not allowed to eat arla, fruit of, right, of the first 3 years. So let's say you have egoze prach of arla that get mixed in with other nuts. What's the halacha? Mixture is aser. Why? Because egoze prach are chashuv and therefore they're never batal. They're not negated. Now we'll say, what happens if you had egoze prach that were crushed nuts that got mixed in with other crushed nuts? Then what's the halacha? They are batal. Why? Because Rabbi will say egoze prach apparently only have their chashivos when they're whole. Once they're crushed, they lose their unique status. Now watch this case, I will say. So, okay, so therefore, so two cases. Case number one, you have whole egoze prach that get mixed in with other nuts. Status of the mixture? Aser. Crushed egoze prach that get mixed in with other crushed nuts. What's the halacha? Mutter, as long as there's a row of permitted nuts. Watch this. What happens? Here's the case. This is so interesting. Let's say you have egoze prach, whole nuts, that get mixed in with other nuts. But after everything is mixed together, the mixture is crushed. See here what happened over here? So the mixture first began, ultimately again, as whole nuts. Now, as a mixture of whole nuts, what would be the halacha? What's the status of the mixture? Aser. But now, once everything is mixed together, then the whole mixture is crushed. So then Rabbi said, the shayla is, was such a great case, no? I will say, it's only Sunday, and look at this gemara. Do you know what this week is going to be? It's fantastic. So I'll say, so now shayla is, so now the mixture, once it's mixed together, ultimately is crushed. What's the halacha? So naflu benispatsu, echad shogig ve'echad mezid lo ya'al divrei meir. So Rabbi Meir holds that halacha l'maisa, it's not batal. It's not batal. Whether you crushed it b'shogeg, whether you crushed it b'mezid, ultimately, Rabbi say lo ya'alu, Rashi says over here, Rashi says, afilu be'elef. So yo lo ya'alu means it's not batal. It's not batal. Now Rabbi say, now not only is it not batal, but even if it turns out that you have like 1,000 times more permitted nuts than prohibited nuts, doesn't make a difference. It's knas. It's a penalty. Because Rabbi say, in general, Rabbi Meir says, we're going to throw the book at you when you're trying to exploit the laws of bittul. So Rabbi Meir says, whether this is shogig, whether this is mezid, it's not batal. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Bishoge Yalu, Bemezid lo Yalu. Suppose Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say, if he did it Bishogeg, then okay, it's batal. But if he did it Bemezid, it's not batal. Right? Bishogeg batal, Bemezid not batal. I have a ha 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 midoraisa, chad betray batal. But I will say, but remember again, this is the case, as I just said before, I will say, Da'oraisa, biblical bittul is very simple. What's biblical bittul? Biblical bittul? Simple majority. Simple majority. So I will say, so in this case over here, mid'oraisa, once those egoze prach fall into a majority, we're done. We're done. Crush, not crush. So again, so yet, ha'mid'oraisa, ha'mitrei bittul, for Rabbanon who de gozer, and yet Rabbanon say, it's the Rabbanon who are gozer, Vikakonis Rabbi Yehuda. And yet Rabbi say, so this whole thing is a din d'rabbanon, and Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing that in a case of mezid, ultimately we're going to knas you again. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we knas you in a case of d'rabbanon, and that contradicts Rabbi Yehuda on the Gemara base. Hasam hainutam Rabbi Yehuda, mishum da'asi le'arumei. So Rabbi say, over here it's different. Why? Because what we're concerned about, Rabbi say, is that if we don't knas you in this case, what are we concerned about? That ultimately, again, subterfuge, right? We're concerned that ultimately, again, you're going to engage in erroneous practice. And as Rabbi say, what Rabbi Huda is concerned about over here is the following situation. That if we don't knas you in a case of mezid, this is an easily exploitable situation. So you could go ahead and purposely mix egoze prach into something else and either go ahead and crush it, right, in the mixture, before the mixture, and suddenly again, everything is permitted. Rabbi Yehuda feels in this case, in order to avoid halachic exploitation, we have to knas you in a mezid case. Incredible. Rabbi Yossi. We're going to pose with Rabbi Yossi is the one we just quoted over here before who agreed with Rabbi Yehuda. We'll pose with Rabbi Yossi. Disnan, netiya shel arla, v'shal kla yakereb. So we'll say an interesting case. So we'll say in this situation over here, you have, if you can imagine, like a field. And in that field, you have a sapling or a tree of Arla or a tree of Kloya Kerem. Shenis arvu minetios acheros. Oh, so, but then what happened? You lost track in the field. Which was the tree of Arla or which was the tree of Kloya Kerem? So I know that it's there. But now I lost track. So I will say, what's that? Hareze lo yilakate. So we'll say, you're stuck. You can't pick the fruits of any of these trees because you don't know which is us. So take a look at Rashi. We'll say Rashi is right across the left. Hareze lo yilakate. T'chozman shibim koma kimuchaber chashiba v'lo batla. T'chilakate l'peres mevatlu b'masayim havim mevatla eselechatchila. So we'll say, here's the interesting part. So halacha l'maisa, ultimately, again, so you can't go ahead and pick the fruits from any of the tree. Why? Because essentially, I will say, since it's mechuber, it's attached to the ground, that makes it like kavua, kol kavua kamechza, mechza, without getting into all the technicalities right now. You can't pick a fruit. And here's what's interesting. After you picked fruit, then ultimately, again, so the arlo or klaya kerem, ultimately, again, would be batal, in a ratio of 200 to 1, right? Both arla and Klaya came up be batal 200 to 1. See, the interesting part is you're not allowed to pick the fruit. If you did pick the fruit and mix it in with 200 to 1, ultimately again it would be fine. So now we'll say, now watch this. How easily? So therefore, this case where you lost track of the tree, you really can't pick the fruit. Then Likate, what if you did? Yalu Macho Masayim. Ultimately, again, I will say, so ultimately the fruit that you pick will be bottled in a 200 to 1 ratio. Or Bilvachlo is kavin lokot. But Aloch Lamaisa, you can't intentionally pick it. So I take a look at Rashi. Rashi's Vim Likate, Velo Nimlach, Yalu, Davili Shogeg, Glon is kavin lelakate, Amanas Levatel, the Savar Shekvar Bitlu Bemechubar. I will say, if you pick the fruit, thinking that what? That the Kloya Karen and the Orla is battle already in Mechubra state. Or as we'll say, in this case over here, here's what I know. I know that I have a field of trees. In that field of trees, there's one tree that is Kloya Karen or Orla. I know that it's Aser. I figure to myself that the Orla or the Kloya Karen is just battle already in the field. So what did I do? I picked the fruit. So if I picked the fruit thinking that it was permitted to do so, ultimately, again, yalu, then halacha l'maisa, it will indeed be bottled in a mixture of 200 to 1. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af hamiskavin lalaket, yalu be'achar umasayim. Rabbi Yossi says the truth is, even if you know that it's not bottled in the mechuber state, and you have in mind to pick it, because you know that once you get all the fruit together, the fruit will be bottled in the mixture. It's still mutter. Ha'itmala amarava. Chazaka ein adam oser es karmo benetia achos. Ultimately, I will say, why is that? That Allah said there's a chazaka that a person is not going to aser his field because of one tree. In other words, I will say, this is interesting. What the contradiction will be here is beforehand, Rabbi Yossi said, b'shogeg is mutter. But or b'shogeg is bottle, but b'mezid is not bottle. Yet Rabbi say over here, Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying that even b'mezid, you can go ahead and pick the fruit. What's the logic, Rabbi say? See, beforehand, Rabbi Yossi is concerned that if we permit you in a mezid case, you'll come to do it b'mezid. Over here, Rabbi say, no one is going to intentionally set up a case like this, right? A person will never intentionally plant an orla tree or a kloya kerem tree in the middle of their field. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, so I will say, so because of that, Rabbi Yossi even allows you to intentionally rely on Bittel, because we're not concerned that you're going to exploit the halacha in other mazid cases. Incredible. A person is not going to prohibit their vineyard or their field because of one tree. So I will say, what you see over here is something very interesting, that halacha l'maisa, Rabbi Yossi will knas you, will penalize you in a mazid case when there's a concern that if we don't penalize you b'mezid, you'll come to do it b'mezid in other cases. But in other situations where it's clear that you're in such a compromised situation that you would never create of your own volition, even with b'mezid, we're not going to knas you. Good. So Rabbi said, this is the end of the sugya. But Rabbi said, so again, how do we pass the halacha l'maisa? Remember again, the overarching. Issue in this sugya was hezek she'eno nikar. Right? In today's daf, we got a little bit sidetracked with the positions of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, which actually were not really focused on hezek she'eno nikar, but are much more focused on what? Do we penalize you in a case of shogeg, lest you come to do it b'mezid? So that's the machlokes, Rabbi Yossi. So again, Rabbi Yehuda says effectively no. Right? I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda says yes. Rabbi Meir ultimately will be mechalik between shogeg cases where there is a constructive intent versus no constructive intent. But I will say, in the overarching question, how do we paskin in the realm of hezek she'eino nikar? If you visit unrecognizable damage upon another individual, what is the halacha? So I will say, so the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Chovel Umazik Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. Here we go. Hamazik Mamon Chavero hezek she'eino nikar. If you damage someone's property, I will say, in a way that is unrecognizable. That's all of yesterday's daf, right? I go over to your produce, I make your produce tame. Externally, there is no visible difference or change to the produce. But status-wise, everything has changed. What's the halacha? Hoil v'lo nishtana hadavar. Since you haven't affected any type of physical change, Velo nifsida tsuraso, and the form of the item has not changed. Hare ze patra mina tashlumin din Torah. Rabbi say midda oraisa we paskin. Bless you. Hezek sheino nikar lo shmei hezek. That's doraisa. That's when you cause unrecognizable damage to someone. Biblically speaking, they have no claim against you. However, avam divrei sofrim amru holuv hifchis demehen hari zechayiv umshalim hashifchis midmeir. However, Rabbi say midrabanan we paskin that hezek sheino nikar is shmei hezek, and therefore aloch lemaisa you have to pay for the damages. How do we assess damages? Again, I will say we look at what the item was worth beforehand. We look at what the item is worth now. Again, let's say it was Truma Tehora, that could sell for X. Now it's Truma Temea, it could only sell for Y. That's the amount of damages. However, a very important qualification. The Chayin, as I will say, this is now in Halacha Gimel. Hamazik Hezek Shironika B'Shgaga O Ba'ones Pater. Shalom Kansu Ela Hamiskavein Lahazik Midaito. So we'll say the Eder Rambam Paskins is, however, again, so we'll say, see, here's the level. Midaraisa, Hezek, Sheino Nikar, unrecognizable damage is not damaged. Midrabanan, it is damage. But even Midrabanan, you're only Chayif Hezek, Sheino Nikar when? The Mesid. If it was done B'shogeg, ultimately, again, Halacha Lamaisa, you are not Chayif. Now we'll say, we're not fully finished with it because there's one more piece of Hezek Shino Nikar. Look at the next Mishnah because there's one more case. But let's do the next Mishnah first. Mishnah: Hakohanim shepiglu b'mikdash mezidin chayavim. So we'll say here's the case: a kohanim purposely makes something pigle. We'll say we talked about pigle yesterday, right? Remember again, what's pigle? Pigle is erroneous thought. In other words, the kohen has a thought to either do some part of the avodah or consume some part of the karban outside of the permitted window. I'll give you an example, right? So let's say again, Aaron HaKohen is doing the Avodah, right? He's going ahead and he's doing Zrika. He's doing the sprinkling, right? Which is one of the essential Avodahs. Now I want to say he's doing the sprinkling on a Shlamim, right? Halacha L'maaseh, who gets to eat the Shlamim? Who gets to eat the Shlamim? Everyone, right? The owner, the Kohen, Mizbeah. So now Kohen knows he's getting a piece of meat. Right, it's now a Monday, or it's a Tuesday, right? It's a Tuesday. So Cohen says to himself, "You know what? This is great. Mrs. Cohen always, right? Thursday night is always milkshakes. I hate milkshakes, right? So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna save this. I'm gonna save this for Thursday night." So Rabbi says, "So that's a class. That's a great case of pigle. Why? Because Thursday night is already outside of the permitted window of consumption for the shlomim." So we'll say that would. So I just want to point out, pigle doesn't have to have sinister intent. You could have sinister intent also, right? The Kohen doesn't like the guy bringing the carbon. So what does he do? He has in mind to do some type of the avoda outside of the permitted window that it validates the carbon. Or so it could be innocuous intent or sinister intent. So we'll say if a Kohen goes in and makes a carbon pigle, mezidin chayav. And if he does it b'mezid, he is chayiv. He's chayiv. They will say chayiv to who? So remember again, we're talking about a case over here where there's a Yisrael or there's someone bringing the carbon. The Kohen's pigle intent invalidates the carbon. Therefore, he will be liable to the owner of the carbon. So turn around, Banan. So we'll say, these are fascinating cases. Hayo'osi imo b'taras. So we'll say, let's say a person, right, one individual, Ruvain, was going ahead, let's see if there's a, fine. Hayo'osi imo b'taras. Ruvain was going ahead and dealing with Shimon's taras. So we'll say taras means, taras can mean truma, taras can mean just chulin bitara. He was dealing with his taras. Va'amarlo, taras sha'asisi imcha nitmu. We'll say, listen to this. So Ruvain was working with Shimon's taras, and he says to Shimon, by the way, I have to tell you, the taras that I handled are tameh. Are tameh, okay. Or hayos osim abizvachim. Or I will say, for that matter, again, so right, Ruvain, who's a Kohen, is going and says to Shimon, you know, I have to tell you, the karbanos that I handled on your behalf, they're tameh. They're tameh. So right, or again, I made them pigle. So I will say, ne'eman. Ultimately, again, in both cases, Ruvain is believed. Fine. Aval amarlo, taros shasisi imcha biyom ploni, nitmu. So I said, but if Ruvain said to Shimon, Ruvain says to Shimon, those taras, it's now Sunday, right? It's now Sunday. Shimon, remember those? I was handling your taras on Friday? They're tame. Or Zvachim shasisi imcha biyom ploni. Or Reuven, in this case, is a Kohen, says to Shimon, who's the Yisrael, you know, I brought that carbon on your behalf on Friday, last Friday, it became pigle, ain't on Emon, he's not believed. So Rabbi will say, Maishna Resha Maishna Seifa, Amrabaye Kol Shebiyadon Neman. So Rabbi will say, this is fascinating. So Rabbi wants to make the following distinction, Rabbi will say, in case number one, what we'll call the Resha, Reuven says to Shimon, the Taras that I'm handling for you now are Tame. The carbon that I'm offering for you now is Tame. It's what's called Kol Shebiyado. When the item is in your hand, you are believed regarding status. When the item is no longer in your hand, and now what you're trying to do is what I will say, create a new narrative for that which occurred in the past. Ultimately, again, in that case, we are not going to believe you. We're not going to believe you. So I will say, that's kosher. So that's ultimately, again, a case of something that was done previously. So I will say, here the interesting distinction. If halacha lemaisa, ultimately again, you currently have the item in your hand, i.e. the taras or the karban, then you are believed to say, it's tameh, it's pigle. If, however, again, it's no longer in your hand, and you're looking out to create an alternative, a retrospective alternative narrative, then halacha lemaisa, you're no longer believed. That's Abai. Rava Amar Rava says, kigon, ta'ashkeche v'lo amarle, v'lo midi, ulebaser hachi ashkeche v'amarle. So we'll say, interesting case. Rava says, no, what's the distinction? We'll say, in the first case, right, Reuven runs into Shimon, and Reuven says to Shimon, you know, Shimon, he meets him on the street, and he says, Shimon, you know, those taras that I handled for you, they're tummy, or the carbon I offered for you, it's pigle. And he says this the first time he encounters him. In the second case, I'll say, Reuven encounters Shimon. The first time he encounters Shimon, he never says anything, right? Second time he encounters Shimon, then he says something. That point, I will say, we don't believe him. Because if it was really true that you messed up the taras, or if it was really true that what? You messed up the carbon, then what? You would have said it the first time. So we'll say, let's analyze this. Some stories. So the Gemara says, good. Hahuda amrali lechavrei. There was a guy who said to his friend, let's just call Reuven and Shimon. Right? Reuven says to his friend, Taros Shasisi in Chabiyon Ploni Nitmu. Right? Reuven says to Shimon, you know, those Taros that I took care of on your behalf, you know, last Thursday, they're Tame. Also the Kmei Rabbi Ami. So now, of course, so right, Reuven says this to Shimon, and Shimon doesn't know what the status of his produce is. So also the Kmei Rabbi Ami, they came up for Rabbi Ami, Amrle, Shuras Hadin Eino Ne'eman. Really, again, Abba say, Meikar Adin. Ultimately, again, Reuven's not believed. Now, Abba say, now, ultimately, this seems to align with the understanding of Abaye, right? Because Abaye essentially says the only time you are believed to say that something you are involved in is tame is when? When it's biyado, when it's in your hand. In this case, over here, Reuven's coming over to Shimon and saying to Shimon, you know, the taras I took care of you for you last week are tameh. So if Rabbi Ami says, Mikra din, not believed. Amar the fun of Rabbi Asi, Rabbi, ata omer kein. So ultimately, Rabbi Asi says, okay, Rabbi, you Rabbi Ami, you say this. However, hach yom Rabbi Yochanan, mishon Rabbi Yossi, ma'esa shatora ha'eminaso. But Rabbi Yossi says, I will say that to what? Rabbi Yossi says, what could I do? The Torah believes such an individual. And Rabbi Yossi, what it sounds like what's happening over here is that Rabbi Yossi is saying that when Reuven shows up and he tells Shimon, by the Taras, that I took care of you last Thursday, Artemayim, the Torah believes Reuven. Okay. Heichan haminaso. Where does the Torah believe him? Am Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Kin, so Rabbi Yossi is fascinating. Bar Bisna, Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur Yochiach. Rabbi Yossi, what's the source for this? The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Listen to this. Dechi Amar Pigol Nehemon. They will say, get ready for this. Let's say the Kohen comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or comes out of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, remember again, when the Kohen does the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, the Chol Adam Lo Yeba Oemoy, the Pasuk says, no one is in the Mikdash together with the Kohen when he does his Avoda. He's all alone. They will say, now what happens if the Kohen comes out of the Mikdash and he says, guys, bad news. Right? Everything is pigle. Right? Something is pigle. That would be everything. Right? Something is pigle. So we'll say, what's halacha? We believe him. Now we'll say, now when is the Kohen coming out and saying this? It's after the fact. It's after the fact. Because remember again, no one's with him in the Mikdash. No one's with the Mikdash. So if the Kohen comes out and he says, the Avodah is Pigol, by definition, we are believing him. So we'll say, now, how do we know? Now, if the Kohen tells us that the Karbanos are Pigol, how would we know this? After all, the Haksiv, the Chol Adam lo yeh ba'olam oved. So we'll say, no one is with him in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's no way to know that something is Pigol without him telling us when? After the fact. So the Gemara says, Elolam Mishum de Mehemen. I says, Gemara, V'dom de-shamani de-pagol. Maybe we hear him making a Pigol. Now we'll say, now what does that mean? In other words, maybe when he's doing the Avoda, we hear him expressing an erroneous intent. I was supposed to say, again, this is not intentional, this is accidental. Right? So maybe the case is we hear him actually saying the wrong thing. I'm going to do this Rika tomorrow afternoon. Whatever it is. We hear him expressing wrong intent. Ilav de mehemen, afagav de shamane, nami lo mehemen. Right? So we'll say, so the truth is, even if it's a case, right, ultimately again that we heard him, we'll say, ultimately again, even if we did hear him, the only way he's ultimately believed is if we would believe him after the fact. V'dilma dechazi, in other words, we'll say, you can't set it up as a case at the end of the day where halacha l'maisa, you're hearing him. Because the truth is, that's not always the possibility. V'dilma dechazi, maybe we're seeing him. They'll both say, how are you going to see him? This is incredible. The pishbush. They'll both say, so again, I should have brought an image of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so remember, when you go ahead, if you could imagine, we'll say, when you walk into the Mikdash, to see this. Right? When you walk into the Mikdash, so remember again, the Beis HaMikdash proper, we call the Heichal, was a rectangle. But when you walk into the Mikdash, there was something called the Ulam, the antechamber. The antechamber was also like a long, narrow rectangle. So I will say, on the corners of the Ulam, there was a cubbies, right? Beis HaChalifos, right? What they call the place for the knives, so the cubbies of the Kohanim. There was, technically speaking, like a little bit of a hole that allowed you to see from the corners into the Heichal itself. So that, technically speaking, you could be standing outside of the Mikdash and technically see in. So maybe that's the case. Maybe the case, ultimately, again, is where we see the Kohen. And maybe that's how we know about any type of Pigol intent. Therefore, the Gemara says, Kasha. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're right, that is a good point. So Rabbi Say, that's where that story ends. But I just want to point out what's unfolding over here, Bosai. So now again, halacha l'maisa, what we're left with over here is as follows. What we're left with is the machlokas Abaye and Rabba, which really focuses on the following situation. At what point is a person believed to say that something they were involved in is tameh? So Abaye is going to say, you're believed as long as what? The item is biyado. It's biyado. If it's biyado, then you're believed. Once it's no longer biyado, you're no longer believed to inject some type of retrospective narrative. Rava's going to say, no, as long as you share this information, the first time you encounter the individual who it impacts, then you're believed, even if this encounter is sometime long after the actual event occurred. But if you had a first encounter, you don't say anything, and then a second encounter, you do say something, then you're not believed. Let's go weiter. There was a guy who came from Rabbi Ami. We'll say another similar case. Anrale said to him, Sefer Torah shekasavti l'ploni, listen to this, as karos shalo lo kasavti l'shma. So I will say, this is an incredible case. Right? So Reuven comes to, well actually, in this case, Reuven wrote a Sefer Torah for Shimon, right? And Reuven went to Rabbi Ami. So I will say, so in this case, he's not confronting Shimon. He goes into Rabbi Ami's Beis Din. And he says, listen, Rabbi Ami, I have bad news. That Sefer Torah that I wrote for Shimon, I did not write the names of Hashem Lishma. What? Right? So in other words, the rest of the Torah is great, right? Otherwise, everything is great. But I did not write the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishma. Amrle, so Rabbi Ami says, well, say first white line, Sefer Torah biyadmi, who has the Sefer Torah now? What's Sefer Torah? Amrle biyad lokeach. So again, Reuven says, I no longer have it. It's actually in the hands of Shimon. I already delivered it to him. So it says, here the case. So Reuven wrote the Sefer Torah, right? Delivered it to Shimon. Goes over to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami, I didn't write the names Lishma. Rabbi Ami says, who has the Torah? Reuven says, Shimon, Amrle, Ne'aman afta lahafsid scharcha, Ve'iatonem alahaf said Sefer Torah. Fascinating. So Yami says to Reuven, you are believed to go ahead and lose out on your wages. So obviously, if you did not write the Shem Hashem L'shma Bosei, then ultimately, again, what you're saying is you shouldn't get paid for your work, or at least some segment of your work, but you are not believed to pass all the Sefer Torah. Incredible. Shomer Rabbi Yirmiyah, Nehi, Dehev Shem Bosei. So again, take a look at, let's go weiter. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, "Vi nihi." So we'll say third line. Nihi, third line. Nihi, the hefsid schar askaras. Schar the Sefer Torah kule mi hefsid. I don't understand why would Reuven the silver in this case? Why would he lose out the wage for the entire sefer? What should he lose out on? We'll say, what should he lose out on? The wage associated with writing the name of Hashem. However, you're quantifying that. The point over here is the overwhelming majority of the sefer is fine. It's just the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are not good. Amarle in Shekol Sefer Torah Shein Askar Shelo Ksuvos Lishman Eino Shove Klum. And I will say because the Sefer Torah that doesn't have the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu written Lishma is not worth anything. Therefore, when Reuven shows up before Rabbi Ami and he says, "Listen, I have to admit, I did not write the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishma." Essentially, what he's saying is the Sefer Torah is worthless. So halacha lemaisa. Ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa. So Rabbi Ami says to the sofer, you are believed to say you're not entitled to any wages, but you are not believed to go ahead and say that the Sefer Torah is possible. I for the avra alai kolmos ulekache. So the Rosh say there is a way to rectify this. There is a way to rectify a Sefer Torah where the names of Hashem were not written l'shma. How do you rectify it? It's incredible. You trace over the names. After all, Kiman name, so the Gemara says, Kiman name of Rabbi Yehuda. Disnan. But listen to this interesting case. Harishai Tzarech Lichtov Es Hashem V'Niskavi Lichtov Yehuda. So it was an interesting case. Let's say you're a sofer. You were supposed to write the name of Hashem. You were supposed to write Yud Hei and then Vav Hei. And then what happened? But your intention was to write the name Yehuda. Then you made a mistake with writing the name Yehuda. And what did you write? Yehuda minus the Dalet. What's Yehuda minus the Dalet? Yud Hei and then Vav and then Hei. So we'll say in this case over here, what effectively happened is you were supposed to write the name of Hashem. You made a mistake. You were going to write Yehuda, but you made a mistake with Yehuda, but you ended up writing the name of Hashem. So you wrote the name of Hashem, but without Kavana. What do you do? V'tav lo hitel bo Dalet, mavir alav kulmos, omekacho div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem. Just trace over it. So you wrote Yud Hei and Vav Hei without Kavana. No problem. Just trace over again the letters with Kavana and you're good to go. The Chum say, Ein Hashem min HaMufchar. The Chum say, this is not really a good name of Hashem. This is not the way to do it. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha L'maisa, when this sofer comes along and says, I wrote all of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Lishma, no problem. According to Rabbi Yehuda, just trace over the names and you're good to go. I feel the same Rabbi Yehuda. And I will say, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it doesn't work in this case. Why? Atkan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda ela bechada askara. So I will say, when does Rabbi Yehuda say you could trace over a name of Hashem and make it Lishma? When? If it happens once. Aval dekule sefer Torah lo mishum de mechse kiminumar. I will say, but halacha lemaisa again, if the sofer is saying, I did not write one name Lishma, then I will say, to start tracing over every single name Lishma, ultimately, again, is not going to be good. Rabbi say, what do we call this? We call this a spotted. Menorah literally means a spotted Sefer Torah. In other words, it's a spotty Sefer Torah. In other words, it's not good. So Rabbi say, we're going to stop over here for today, but just understand what we're leaving off with in the middle over here. What we're leaving off with, Rabbi say, is this incredible machlok. Because first of all, we're going to see Rabbi say what the status is by Sefer Torah. But in general, what we're trying to figure out is when you did something for someone else, and now you want to come along and say, that which I did for the other is not good. Are you believed to compromise the kashrus of the item? Now, obviously, I will say it's going to be a distinction between whether the item is still in your possession or you've given it over. But it's machlokas Abaye and Rav. Abaye says, if it's in your hand, you have the ability to qualify the status. No longer in your hand, you're not believed. Rava, no, even if it's not in your hand, as long as the first time you encounter the owner, you qualify the status, you're believed. But if it's not the first encounter, you're no longer going to say, how do we pass Galoch HaLamaisa? And specifically the Sefer Torah case, Emiyat Hashem tomorrow. Osei Shkoyach.